America.
All right.
It's Mike Whiteside.
Branded sound.
It's testosterone.
Talking about tea already, huh?
Low tea. I'm low tea. I've been low tea for a while.
Oh, man. Well, what a kickoff topic.
Sorry about
there.
That, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Black Dog Salvage Podcast.
Yeah, it's our Thursday date.
Sure, mandate.
Mandate, yeah.
Therapy session.
It's a mandate.
Well, here we are, episode 8. Well, but kind of.
Well,
really?
It's really a 2.2.
So I have, since last time, and well, for the first time ever, I now have all the access to the back end of the podcast.
The original podcast.
Posting and all that. Yeah. So I've been kind of messing around with things. Yeah. So y'all listening out there or watching, if anything all of a sudden looks weird on Spotify, it's because I don't know what I'm doing.
How can you tell?
I don't know.
That's the whole point.
It's all still there. So what I wanted to do, though, is because today is the first day we're going to be talking about an actual episode. And going forward, we're going to keep doing that. So I wanted the season, the episode and season in Spotify to correspond with the episode and season of the show. That way it's easy for people to find. So if all things worked correctly, this should be season one, episode one of the Black Dog Salvage Podcast, which will correspond with season one, episode one of Salvage Dogs.
Okay, so you want to keep up with that.
That way it links together, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lofty goal, though, folks. We'll see.
Yeah, it's technology.
We'll see how we did.
It depends on... If it's me, I can't get it. You know,
you're pretty savvy though. Yeah, I will say with your daily dog and your posting.
That's his point. I did it today for the paint class.
Oh yeah, how'd that go?
It went great, except I forgot to put it on video.
Oh no!
So I took a picture
of the entire
one. Yeah, it was terrible. So I got to look at it. I'm walking in. I'm walking back to my office, going to post it.
And you did a whole talking to the camera and everything.
Oh, yeah. But only about 2 minutes. I didn't want to make it too long.
Okay.
And so I had to go back in and say, okay, everybody, sorry about that.
Sorry, I messed up.
I'm going to do it one more time. This is how the sausage is made.
That's the worst feeling in the world.
It wasn't too bad.
You finished something and it was a good take, but then you realize you didn't hit record.
It was fair. It wasn't good, but I like to be, I'm a C student.
C's get degrees, man.
There's always room to go up. I was good in art, though.
Well, that applies to anything. Yeah. There's always room for improvement. A case in point.
Here we go.
So I wanted to hit you with some stats now that I have access to the back end of the podcast.
Okay.
Our Tay and Mike reboot the podcast, the origin story episode that we recorded last week, now has 466 downloads.
Yeah.
In the span of a week.
Is that good?
I think. Okay. For something that we didn't market at all and didn't tell anyone was going to happen.
Awesome.
And that I produced, edited for like 20 minutes.
There
and
you
then
go.
Just posted.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's the KISS factor.
Oh, it's the best. KISS. Yeah, keep it simple, stupid. And the YouTube version, the video version on YouTube, got 545 views.
There you go.
Got Black Dog another 11 subscribers, and we made $2.39.
We're rolling now, people. Keep it coming.
From the ad revenue on that video.
That's all right.
But a total of 145 watch hours. From just that.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I think.
It is.
I mean,
and people watched, I don't have it on this page, but people watched, I think, on average, like 15 minutes before they clicked off.
Before they blew us off.
So we'll pay attention. We'll see what our drop-off rate is on this episode.
Well, it's a little different. It's always going to be different. And that's just, stay tuned.
That's right. Well, anyway, my name's Tay Whiteside, as always, here with my dad.
Mike Whiteside.
There he is.
Father of Tay and Gracie.
That's right. And this week, we'll be talking about season one, episode one of a little television program called Salvage Dogs.
Yep. It's living in infamy.
That's right.
Now, it'll never go away until we get a sunburst or one of those
Solar flare.
EMFs or, solar flare.
To wipe all the hard drives that it's stored
That's
on.
That's what they say. Yeah. We got to put this on vinyl.
Okay. Coming to vinyl. That'd be kind of cool,
to vinyl. Yeah, exactly.
Can you fit an hour-long podcast on vinyl? I highly doubt it.
I don't know.
It'd be a 12 vinyl box set to get through the entire hour.
Nah.
No?
I doubt it.
You would know better than me.
I have no. Well, you can't put video on vinyl.
Well, that's a good point.
It's only audio. So... But we're gonna go through season one of Salvage Dogs.
So let's set the scene. Last week we talked about your origin story, Black Dog's origin story, and kind of caught us up to like 2003, 2004, 2005, that whole pre-show era set the stage for all that.
Right.
Black Dog was humming. We were a small family company for a long time.
Yeah, it was back in the day when we made money.
Yeah, less overhead.
less people, less regulations. Yeah, yeah. We had it dialed in. We kind of screwed the pooch, so to speak, on adding a lot of people. We had like 35 people after a while.
That was the peak, right?
That's enough. That's enough.
So many employees.
We're paying our taxes.
And I never could tell, really, because you walk around and you don't see all 35 people in one spot.
Well, you don't, but you don't see the books either. Jesus, trying to make this payroll. It was good though. Don't feel sorry for us, Argentina. It was okay.
Well, you can't grow without a good team. That's for sure.
Oh, what's the old adage? Teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right. Yeah. And there's no I in team.
Oh, there you go.
Unless you spell it wrong.
All those. Well, I would spell it wrong. Just a quick, I got this quick note.
Hit him.
Grayson, who's not in season, is in season one, but not in first episode.
The sixth episode she comes in, the Homestead Stables.
Well, Miss Grayson and her husband, Garrett, just had a baby girl.
Yay!
And they had a little baby boy about a year and a 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, they had Wade, who's he's already 4 feet tall.
Yeah, he's about as tall as you now.
Yeah.
I already feel small. You got to see Garrett. I mean, Grayson is tall.
I look Garrett in the eye.
Yeah.
I think he's actually, after my accident, he's got it.
He's taller than you at the moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, just a little tidbit of information there. A little shout out to the Hollingsworth family.
That's right. See, there's proof. Now, once and for all, let's settle this. Grayson and I are not dating, related, or married, and it is not my kid.
There you go. Yeah.
They have a happy family, and I'm so happy for them.
Yeah.
I guarantee you next week someone will be like, are Tay and Grayson dating?
Not anymore. Not ever.
No, it's funny. My current girlfriend asked me if we ever did, and I remember when we first met, I was like 18 or 19, and she was older than me, but back then it was a bigger deal. And I remember kind of asking her out once, and she kind of said, no.
Gently snubbed.
She let me down.
Yeah, that was a sweet of her. And in the production company, they always wanted a little love interest, you know, obviously besides me and Robert. And that was a joke, everybody.
Well, y'all were a married couple.
And they wanted to, get Tay and Grayson as a little tete-a-tete,
right. As any good reality TV producer does.
So, in true form, Grayson said, it's going to cost you. She was just kidding. She's a sweet lady, and I miss her dearly.
Yeah, I'm so glad looking back that we never did, because dating your coworkers is always the dumbest thing you can do.
It usually doesn't end very well.
It has never ended well for me. So.
Although I worked with your mom and married her, so there you
That's
go.
That's true. Well, you either have to commit, or it's going to be a total disaster.
There's no in between. That's right.
So back to setting the stage. Congrats, Grayson. We'll have her on at some point.
Yeah, we had her on the first part of the podcast.
Yeah, go back and, well, that episode was about her. Actually, she was the guest. So you can go back and listen to that. It's still on Spotify. It's not on YouTube. We never did videos for those, but you go back to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Listen to that one, but we'll have her on again.
Yeah, I hope so.
But here we go. Let's set the stage. So it's 2012, I think, 2011, 2013, somewhere in there.
All right. That's a bracket.
And we had, the show was pitched thanks to Bill. The sizzle reel was chopped around, trying to get someone to buy it.
Right.
And we got the green light to produce 5 episodes.
Yep.
We knew it was the DIY network.
Yeah. And looking back, I wish they'd have made it an hour, but
we always wanted it to be longer.
We gave them enough.
Cause we filmed for a week. It was a week of footage.
Yeah. All told.
With the job, the build and
we gave them enough content. But they did a half hour. That's probably the reason we're not on TV anymore, because everybody wants an hour. Although I think we fit a nice little demographics. We're kind of reality TV light.
That's right.
You can digest it. It's only a half hour.
Easy to watch.
It didn't take a lot of your time unless you're binging.
which is fine. But then, you know, easy in, easy out.
I always tell folks, it's take 2 aspirin and 3 episodes of Salvage Talks and it'll cure you. Whatever's ailing you, it'll cure you.
And if you don't have anything, it'll actually make you sick.
No, it'll make you better. It'll build your immune system up. Come on.
No, I'm kidding. So anyway, season 1, tell us, one thing that's important about how these episodes worked was it was a real job. It wasn't just the script and all this. There was no script. The whole show was unscripted. So you, and only you really before Grayson came in, were responsible for talking to the customer, talking to the customer, yeah, lining up the job, dealing with all the contracts and insurance and all that ahead of time before anything set in motion. And then you had to bring in the production company and tell them. So why don't you tell us how this first job came up?
You know, again, Robert knew the family, the Bowlings, I think, and the Izzard houses or the compound. You'll see if you watch the episode on streaming or wherever you can find your episodes these days, you'll see the beginning where it shows the marker of the house.
Yeah.
You know, the Bowlings and the Izzard house. And it was a 1800s house. You know, it was a big house too. That back then, that was a big house.
Yeah,
and it was
a big 4-square or something. No,
I don't know about 4-square.
No, it was a farm. It was a farmhouse.
Yeah, and it had a couple of additions on it, but it started out as a cabin. There was lot of these old houses,
an actual log cabin,
and then they added on and modified and put siding. I mean, unfortunately, they put aluminum siding at the end, which. Remember we had to peel all that off and send it off and recycle it?
Yeah. As opposed to burning it.
Yeah, it got $100 for it. Yeah, it was big money.
Because zero weight. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nothing. And I thought we were getting good stuff, but it wasn't. I recycled. So there you go. The whole house was going to go away.
Yeah. This was an anomaly in that we saw the demolition all the way through. We were up on that mountain for a week.
Yeah. This was their first episode with us, so they shot 40 hours of footage.
Oh my god! Yeah, they were up there with us.
They were up
there
for 5 days doing the whole project, and it was, you know, we were learning. They were learning how to do it, and we had plenty of blood opportunities on that one. I think our cameraman Gary fell.
I remember that was the that room with all the milk paint boards.
Was that
the
it?
School
or was
room?
It, was it the basement? I'm not sure.
It was no, because there were stairs.
Okay,
it was on the back of the
house.
Maybe
he hit his head on a nail or something. Something happened.
Ooh.
Somebody.
That might have been another one.
We'll have to get Gary on to straighten that out for us. But yeah. Anyway, something.
Wouldn't that be good?
Always something happening that you can't predict. You know, a nail or a bad board that you fall through. I mean, we lose a lot of cameramen to. You know, bad placements.
Well, they're always walking backwards.
Well, yeah, and that's part. And they're not looking. They're looking. They're doing.
And by lose, we don't mean they died. None of them died.
Oh, no. We barely sent them to the hospital.
Yeah.
Although we did send them to the hospital.
Jack got messed up. Yeah, that was. We'll get there.
That was in New Jersey.
So this is up in Floyd, Czech.
Czech, Virginia, which is, it is Czech.
It's a mountain town about an hour north of here.
No, it's kind of southwest. Probably a half hour. It's not very far.
That's right. Czech's not all the way to Floyd.
Exactly. And, we had done a salvage job before next door. I didn't know this until I was up there a couple of weeks ago looking at the new Floyd Fest, grounds.
Oh yeah.
That we had done that. And the Izzard house was one ridge over.
No kidding.
And Mr. Bowen was still living on the property, and his son was around, and really, really nice guy. But, you know, I always ask him, I said, why didn't you just burn this? Because a lot of people do. Well, they had another house right beside it. So, you know, big old flame of a house will melt the next house. So we couldn't burn it in place. We had, after we were through, we had to haul all this stuff out to a burn pile.
Kind of right next to it, sort of.
So you and I were running the dump truck.
I remember that.
As I remember. And we had...
It's too bad we couldn't burn it as a house. That would have looked cool.
Well, they wouldn't have minded.
Yeah.
But the problem was the house that they were renting to somebody else was going to go up.
Fire will jump.
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. And we'll talk about the how the fire went off in a little bit.
Oh, man.
That was fun. dangerous, but fine.
Yeah, there's some beers drank that those
so,
nights.
So we got on site first day. We're just kind of feeling it out, getting our mics on, figuring out how to do this. And I figured, you know, normally when we go on a job like this, we take our food and drink with us, you know. And so I went. I had a huge cooler. I went to the grocery store and I stocked up with sandwich meat and bread and pickles and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And come to find out that the production company provided lunch. Yay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
That was the first time we were like, wait, you'll buy us lunch?
Yeah.
Wow. Craft services, as it's called in the business.
I left the cooler home from then on.
Yeah.
You know, because again, we were independent. We didn't have anybody paying for this, and we had to eat and had to drink. And
we had always brought our own.
Yeah,
lunch,
especially when we're remote like that, because there was no stores nearby.
No. I remember one time we had to go to we went to the Hardee's, I think, in Floyd, which was like a 20-minute drive.
Yeah.
That was about the closest.
Well, you get whoever the PA is at that time. They take
I don't even know if we had a PA at that
had
point.
Had to. I can't remember. It wasn't Zach, I don't think.
But, no.
You know, these are names you'll...
PA is a production assistant, and they're usually the ones that will
they're the
get
runner.
The camera batteries. They'll go get lunch. Yeah. They'll get coffee.
They learned the industry from the bottom up.
So did we.
yeah. But we were called talent.
Right.
That's what they called us.
And, a bit of an overstatement.
We still, well, you know, we were a little humble at first, but then we grew into it.
We got good at it.
Yeah. I thought we had a little bit of talent, but we weren't holding that over our heads and our heads going, you know, getting big or anything.
I remember quite the opposite. I was 18. I was about as socially awkward as I could get. And all of a sudden there's a camera crew in your face and, you know, I knew what I was doing. There's this one scene in the first episode that I remember when it was shot. I was taking a sconce off the exterior wall of the house, you know, with a hand screwdriver and just the most simple job you can imagine. But something about the camera being right here and being told, you know, don't look at it. Pretend like we're not here.
Act natural.
Yeah. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I have no idea how to be me. Yeah. Well, this is the most awkward thing.
You
in the
were
world.
Becoming you and you know, coming out of your shell because you're young. It's kind of funny if you look at the first, you know, season, Tay's got this baby face, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, no heavy
big
beard,
lips, no face.
A little puffy, hair. You know, a little cute little Tay. But it was kind of funny to watch, you know, Tay grow through those years on camera. You know, through 8 years, you became an adult and all that.
I can't exactly recommend growing up on camera.
Well, see,
but it was the coolest experience.
Yeah, and it's there forever, you know. And
that's, like young, late, early 20s is like the perfect time to be traveling around.
Yeah. Well, you had your driver's license.
I did.
You were driving because I remember when we packed the truck to go down. This is, I'm fast forward a little bit to the end, towards the end or towards one day that we moved stuff.
Yeah.
As you know, I was telling you how to drive this thing. And I remember telling you, you know, cause I'm an old, yacht captain or I used to fly a little bit.
I'm got second guessing. Hold on.
Go ahead. He's checking to make sure that we're on.
I couldn't see the little blink.
That's good.
Couldn't see the blinking red dot.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to deny people the ability to see us.
Driving the truck.
And so I told them, if you come down from Bent Mountain and up that way, you're coming down to Roanoke because it's coming off a hill, so there's a lot of switchbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And if you lose your brakes, you're screwed. So I said, you know, if you lose your brakes, Tay, just go to the high side and just side scrape the truck until it stops.
Yeah.
And you thought I was full of it, going like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, don't drive off the other side. Don't let it go because, you know, you're trying to impart survival wisdom to your kids. You know, don't jump off of that. Don't do this. Don't run with scissors. Uh-huh. And if you're losing, it's like a ramp. One of the
a runaway truck ramp.
Yeah, except we didn't have any.
It's a runaway truck wall.
Yeah, so all you could do is just kind of plow into the side and just hopefully that it would stop before you – But that was anyway. I remember telling you that.
Yeah. I remember even a step further was not to ride the brakes either.
Right.
You pump hard and then you let off and you press.
Right.
And you were telling me all this while Gary, the camera guy, was in the passenger seat. And Gary's like, Wait, he's driven this truck before, right? What do you wait? Hold on, this is his first time, and this thing's loaded up, and we're about.
We got a lot of weight on it, and
he was in,
and it wasn't air brakes; it was hydraulic brakes,
right?
So
old Isuzu FTR box truck.
We still have that, by the way, if anybody's interested.
Hey, yeah. Own a piece of history.
Yeah, it's not a decal on there. That's solid. That's a painted logo.
That's right.
Yeah, but I remember that being kind of the start of everything. We were learning our chops. The Izzard house was full of stuff. I mean,
tell us about the house. Tell the people about the house.
I don't remember the year of it right now, but it was probably late 1800s, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. It was a house. It was a post office. It had a schoolhouse, a room that was a schoolhouse added onto it. So this was kind of a community center. There wasn't many folks up there because it's pretty sparse, but that was the place as I think you said in the episode that it doesn't exist anymore, or Robert said it.
Yeah,
this place, you know, the town doesn't exist anymore, and it was just a farm. It was a little farming community up on the mountain.
Yeah,
brutal winters. I mean, I think the coldest temperature in Virginia was recorded up there, which I think was -40.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
And that was before wind chill was even factored.
Just on Bent Mountain, or that's
up on Bent Mountain. So it's chilly up there in the.
I mean, it's easily 10, 15 degrees cooler than it
always,
is.
Always. Always. Yeah. I mean, in the summertime, it's great. You just ask anybody, but wintertime, you know, the leaves go quicker and the snow comes faster and the creeks freeze solid.
Yeah.
And I don't like winter anymore, by the way. It's not my thing, but
I hate winter.
Yeah. And that was kind of the, you know, that was the start of the Izzard house. And of course it was the end of the Izzard house as well. And when we were pulling things, mantles, one of the pieces that we pulled out, there was a lot of drama. Mike Pay was with us, by the way.
Mike Pay is, he's still around.
Yep.
I love that man.
He's a captain in the fire department.
One of the most unique personalities I've ever
met. Head, been bald all his life, I think.
Yeah.
And just as sweet a guy, fabricator. He was a blacksmith and welder, and he worked with us and it would go on. So he was on some of the first episodes you'll see him in. They're just a real sweet guy. But
and a clown, a Freemason, a firefighter.
Matter of fact, in the intro to the show, the claw, the track hoe shows that's the Izzard house when it's clawing away the stuff and who was the guy who ran the
that was Bill St. Pierre.
Bill St. Pierre was a excavator for Pace Construction. And he's, and I know all you guys out there that run those equipment can do it. It's feather touch. He picked up a toilet, which is very brittle.
Yeah.
And moved it out of the house and set it down. You can see that in the, so, I mean, he had some skills and he was on,
fun to watch.
He was kind of in transition because he turned out to start a woodworking company, slabs and millwork and cabinetry and all that up on, in check.
Up that area. Yeah. St. Pierre Woodwork. I think he still does it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still doing it. So, I mean, again, just kind of giving you the players that were there. Grayson wasn't there. It was Ted, Robert, yourself, and me.
Yeah.
And we were, that was the.
I feel like there were a few others. Oh, Kai, that guy that used to work for Robert.
Yeah. He was there.
That kind of younger Amish guy.
Yeah. We,
I don't know if he was Amish,
we wore people out.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, you know, and we weren't making any money then. I think, I don't know what we were making, but it wasn't paying the bills. But
do you remember what y'all paid for the salvage rights on that one?
We shouldn't have paid anything, but probably, you know, knowing Robert, he probably paid $1,000 maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they should have given it to us, I'm sure.
Because we did all that work to get it down.
Yeah. And we left a corner of the building right there. It was a masonry foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And we left a corner as kind of
The cornerstone? Did it have a...
It didn't have one, marking. But it was that area in the building. And it was, we left it as a marker for what used to be there.
Yeah. And, as you find so often in the woods around here. Little remnants of
houses and stuff buildings. That's everywhere.
Chimneys. You see a lot of stone chimneys left in fields.
Yeah.
Where the rest of the house is burned.
And they come down after. They're the last thing to come down.
You pushed a few chimneys over.
I've done that. I've taken them apart and I've pushed them over, jerked them over.
It accidentally knocked them over.
Yeah. I've done a lot of chimney destruction in my day. But it was.
It was a beautiful house and it was a beautiful piece of property. A
lot of good stuff in it.
The floors. Doors, I remember a lot of flooring.
Some really nice old five quarter poplar Old poplar.
I remember Robert's line in the interview. He said, and of talking about poplar and how soft it is, he goes, and high heels will really do a job on it.
They didn't have a lot of high heels back in those days. But
I was also made aware when I was rewatching this episode last night how many times I've seen the first episode of the show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And I always feel the same way. It feels like, because I remember, I don't know, remember where we were, what was happening, but I remember, I'm sure we all got together and watched it when we first watched the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
How cool that was, the intro. And
we had a party, matter of fact.
Yeah.
I got extremely inebriated.
As you well should have.
I won't go there. Clark McCarthy Miller.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was somebody buying drinks.
Anyway. I heard a bus coming through. Yeah, sorry, Clark.
It was terrible. I had a great time, but it was terrible.
Yeah. So that was the house. What else? It was, the fire. The process, top-down process, was we salvage what we want.
Right.
You know, as you said, mantles, floors, doors, windows, lighting.
Whatever.
Meat and potatoes. You said the iconic phrase, meat and potatoes, in episode number one.
That's right.
And from that, I'm sure you probably said it before then, but then from then on, it was that's what we called, like,
standard salvage.
Just good.
The basics of salvage, you know,
this what you can always expect to find in Black Dog salvage.
Yeah, like, and still can to this day. You know, we still have the meat and potatoes. And we got some. What we always say, we have potatoes au gratin. That was a little higher end, and
sure,
you know, this was a tenderloin, not cube steak.
Uh-huh.
You know, this we kind of elevated our meat and potatoes depending on what the salvage was.
Yeah.
Right, but we dug this hole. We dug a trench the first fire. We dug this trench, probably a couple hundred feet long.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we filled it we dumped all the trash in it, all the broken wood and whatever. Really, it was just wood.
This is one of those things that I imagine if we were, we did film most of it, but you can just hear the angry emails coming now, right? Like, why are you burning all that stuff? Yeah. I mean, again, we were five people on a mountain with limited trucks. And when we were done, that building had to be down to the dirt.
Well, and the economics of it were, you can't take it all. Even today, you can't take it all because it costs so much to throw it away. Or
move it, process it, denail it, cut it.
And if it doesn't have a resale value, it needs to go away somewhere. So turning it back into the earth is really the way to go. So being the fire guy, the first fire, I lit it up. I got some diesel,
and we had been dumping all the wood waste in a big ass pile,
big trench, so we could cover it up later because he didn't want all the nails and stuff to be coming out.
Sure.
So I put some diesel on it, which is a slow accelerant,
right?
And I lit it in three different places, the both ends and the middle, and this thing got going. I mean, it was apocalyptic kind of war scene kind of thing.
I mean, the pile of fuel, let's call it, was, I mean, maybe 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
And there were three big piles.
Right. They all combined into one big fire.
Oh my
and
God.
We, you know, we let everybody know, the fire department and everybody. It was a cool day. The wind was down. Matter of fact, it was a little moist, so it was
perfect.
It was perfect, but you still worry that, you know, some of this is going to get out of control. And we were in the middle of the field, so I remember Jack Bromley, one of our cameramen, who was with us almost every episode, with Gary Costner, standing. He has a picture.
One of the coolest pictures I've ever seen.
He's standing there with his camera on a mound of dirt, and this blaze is going up behind him. And it was such a cool shot.
Yeah.
That
if I can find it, I'll put it in the video podcast around here.
We should be able to find it.
Can I make a mark somewhere? I'm halfway point. That'll be easy to remember.
30 minutes, yeah. So anyway, so that was basically the end of, the box bay.
Right. Yeah, that was the other plot point. Sorry, y'all, we're kind of jumping around.
Going around here.
We'll do it. Whatever.
It doesn't matter. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, the house, what we did with the waste. And then, one of the bigger plot points was the big box bay window on the side of the house.
And that was, you know, we'd never done one of those before. And, it, you know, they'd never intended for those to be removed like we did.
They were built in place.
Yeah, and it was stick built. So everything was put in place, and it was old timber. And so we just cut around it, hooked it up. You were the driver, which you became the driver after all that.
Somehow,
technical driver. That was a terrible position because I was yelling, Robert was yelling, and you were in the middle. you know.
Well, that never really changed. No. But
that was the first one where poor old Tay, young Tay, is just like, who do I listen to?
I mean, it's a lot of responsibility to give to an 18-year-old. Yep. And I was in a skid steer on a hill. And a skid steer doesn't work quite like a forklift. No. It's hard to do simultaneous movements, like to go down and tilt at the same time. Yeah. Well, if you're not a pro.
It's not hard, but you didn't have that skill at the time.
Right.
You did now.
And it was heavy. It was really heavy, you know, and a skid steer, it has pneumatic tires, so it's not super stable.
So here we are all.
These are all excuses.
Here we are all hooked up. We were going to take it all in one piece. We had cut everything around it, we thought.
Put the forks under it. We strapped it to the back of the forklift,
and we did what we know now is a proper extraction of a box bay window.
Didn't break it.
Yeah, didn't break it. But there was a board steel that had eluded us.
That was not inserted for drama. That was real.
And
you could hear the hydraulics working on the machine, like
so. Right now, what we did, and we told them in the show, we loaded the spring.
That's right.
And you can't put the spring back where it was. So all we could do is cut what was holding it and let it go. And that's where the drama is. I love in the picture, they kind of zoom in and out to make it look like it was, a lot more drama than it was. But
well, speaking of added drama, that was one of the only times we did, I guess in the industry, it's called ADR, which is like something dialogue replacement. Uh-huh. It wasn't replacement, but they had us record sound pickups later.
Oh, is that right?
Do you remember that? I remember that. There's a line that I said. That was like, I got it. I didn't say that.
You put it in.
I remember them feeding me lines in interviews or something so Ted did one. I think it was Ted and I.
So they overlaid them on everything.
Yeah. So that made the whole moment feel a little more chaotic.
Yeah.
Because it was you were yelling, Robert was yelling.
And that was the first salvage, again.
But it popped. Ted cut it and it popped.
Yeah.
And we backed it out.
And it has a kind of a sordid history. It lived in Black Dog for a long time, and we sold it to somebody up in New Jersey or New York. And it's really sad what happened. Somebody mismeasured it, and so when the person bought it, we never changed it. We thought it was real. It was the right size, but it was the wrong size. It was too big.
And our measurements were.
And you were there when we loaded it, as I remember.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was. Well, it was unfortunate.
Was that a return?
No, we didn't want it back. We gave her money back, or gave her a majority of her money back, and said.
And they kept it.
Good luck. Yeah. She wanted to put it inside a salon. I mean, this thing was huge. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, live and learn. Live and lose, or whatever it is you do.
Measure twice. List on eBay once.
Yeah. So after that, we started doing a lot of verification of our inventory.
That's still a hard thing to get right when you got so many people and they just throw a tape on something and go, 40.
And I'm in the first show, we were trying everything. We had the pick, we had the salvage, we had a pick where Mike Ferguson, who from that point on became to be known as Buddha Mike.
Buddha Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so right. From the gate, this is where I give the production company credit. Not that I ever don't give them credit, but to establish in TV, especially the formula of the show is really important. Like it's, set up punchline, drama, cliffhanger, commercial break, comeback, problem resolution, it's real formulaic.
Yeah.
And so, even from first episode, we had what was known internally as the wow, which is when someone would bring something in. Whether someone else or you or I or Robert would come in on the truck and we got a thing. And then there was the round table, it was called, where we sit down and talk about the job that in real time we had already done.
Right. So we knew what we were going to do or what we wanted to do.
Yeah. Made that easier to do.
So we're giving you a little behind the scenes, seeing how the sausage is made because most reality is not, or any show, matter of fact, is not real. It's all staged.
And that was the most staged our show ever got.
Yeah, because we didn't know what we were doing. We were inventing our show at the time.
Yeah.
And so we kind of loaded up a truck with Mike and sent Mike in with it.
Yeah, all that big buster, all that stuff was already at Black Dog.
It was over there. We threw mud in the sink to make it look old.
You could see like the smear marks.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, the piece de resistance was the concrete Buddha.
That's such a good Buddha. That was a good I've never seen a better Buddha.
That was the best Buddha we ever had. It was bodacious.
Best Buddha we ever had.
And Mike, his line was, I don't know where it came from. Wherever Buddhas come from, I don't know. I don't need no Buddha.
I don't need no Buddha.
And today you can still see Mike up there. He's still doing his thing, and
he looks exactly the same.
Doesn't look a bit different, but
so he owns Christian Car Care up the street, right. And Dad and Robert's longtime go-to.
Well, still
vehicle fix him up guy.
I tell you what, he pulled us. He continues to, you know, you're in a bad spot.
He'll do it.
He'll pull you out.
He has also on talking about him, the red pickup dually pickup truck right. makes its debut in this episode.
Big red, yeah. I brought in the Roanoke Rocket.
The Rocket. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. That was, I guess, we're kind of two wows. But so Mike got, well, none of it brought in. It was the earthenware sink, the right. Buddha, a tub. Oh, and it was an interesting dialogue. This made me laugh. It always does. It was a 5-foot tub. And Robert, it's even funnier when you know that it wasn't Mike's tub, because Robert was telling Mike how literally any other size of tub would be more valuable than the 5-foot tub that he brought.
It was scratched and dented.
Yeah, he's like, well, as a 4.5 would be better, a 5.5, a 6-foot.
Yeah, this didn't happen all the time. But, you know, when we did have people come in, we say, well, why don't you come in on Thursday? We're filming and you can do that.
Yeah.
But this was definitely, you know, like, again, it had to be staged.
Had to be.
You know, because it wasn't going to happen right then anyway. And so that's how the format for the show began, you know. And we also, one of the cool things too is
I'm opening a beer.
All right, here you go. Listen. Oh.
Oh no, I got some debris on the microphone.
That's a little flat.
This is a,
what you got?
Custom there? Brew from Big Lick Brewing Company. All right. It's a grapefruit mule.
Just across the street from here. Mm-hmm. But we did, Ted and I did a delivery. Now the teaser or the
oh gosh yeah the, man the, there was a lot in this first
it
episode.
It was, and I was surprised how much stuff was there. But we did a they call it a teaser or a sizzle to market something, and this was the door from the South Boston house,
right? The one that we did, and they filmed essentially the sizzle reel
right.
from.
Yeah, yep. We talked about that last week, and it was just, you know, made for TV. You know, I wrapped it up. Oh, nothing could happen. You know, we get halfway down the road and all the stuff I put on it is falling off.
That we joked about that line from Robert for ever.
Yeah.
Because it was, we built a frame on the trailer and probably screwed it to the trailer as we did often.
It was solid.
Because someone bought that and to put it in their log cabin, which is bizarre.
I'd love to go see that someday. Maybe,
yeah,
I will.
I guess it's finished now.
If you guys are out there ago. And you see this or hear this, give us a call. Let us know.
Send us some pictures. We'll put it on Black Dog's Facebook.
It was a beautiful door.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was all complete. And so bolted it, strapped it to the trailer. And then we did cardboard over the glass, and then you wrapped
shrink wrap
around the whole thing, which I was helping you. I didn't see anything wrong
with it.
It
lasted,
in hindsight,
about an hour.
I mean, Robert called it too. I don't know what else he had a problem with. It's a shocker, but he was like, on that plastic, it's just, who needs all that plastic flying around?
Yeah.
Well, and then cut, I mean, just the best cut ever, cut to the driving shot where the plastic's just
floating
in the breeze.
Ted and I pulled over to the side of started cutting all the excess plastic off.
Uh-huh.
Most of it made it, but some of it didn't. You know, again, first time we ever did it, so live and learn.
Yeah.
And so we're combining a lot of stuff on the first episode that became the format for what we were going to do other 142 of them, you know, because this was the first.
Yeah.
And it was a learning process, and we had a great time. We found Courtney Cronin.
Mm-hmm.
She did the painting of the stove that we found.
Oh, the stove that was in the fireplace.
And we got people giving us crap about that. It was really a piece of crap. But she painted it, made a planner out of it. I thought it was great.
She did the Courtney
dance.
Oh,
yeah, she did a dance. That's right. You know, Courtney's sweet.
She was great. She's still around here.
Yeah, she is. She's quite an artist these days. A Googler.
Another iconic phrase. Maybe the most iconic phrase from this episode, and maybe even the entire show, was when you brought in the Rocket from the former Lakeside Amusement Park here in Roanoke. It was like a, I don't know, 40, 50 foot tall rocket.
Still there, matter of fact.
It's still, we painted it black with Black Dog Salvage, like Titan 5 down the side.
Yeah, and it was our, I call it Roanoke Redneck Rocket Company.
That's right.
And it, the guy I bought it from had two of them. There was two at this at the lakeside. He took one and made it, put it on a trailer with hydraulics and little radar thing, made it look
like a
NATO rocket.
Wow.
You know, and I'm going like, that wouldn't fly today.
No way.
Going down the road with something that looked like a rocket. And I don't think I paid $2,000 for it. I think I said that just so I could kind of bait the value because we were never going to sell it.
Yeah.
I think I paid $400 or $200 or something.
That's a deal.
He just had to get rid of it. That's kind of how things work. And you know, I just got to get rid of this stuff. But as soon as you know, they're getting ready to throw it in a dumpster and you pick it up, then, oh, I want something for it. It's like, come on.
Yeah. You showed your cards, sir. Yeah. You told me you didn't.
But, you know, I like to pay for stuff just because that makes
it's good juju.
It is. You know, it's, you got to consummate the contract, so to speak. You know, mm-hmm. a buck or a shirt or a hat always does that for you.
A stern handshake.
Yeah.
So you bought it and then threw it up on the roof rack of the Chevy.
Yeah.
And drove in.
Big red. Yeah.
And I guess maybe that was probably another one that was already there, maybe, but we threw it up on the truck and brought it in as a wow.
Well, I brought it in on a trailer originally.
Yeah. Okay.
And then of course, like, you know, I can't pull the trailer in here. And then I looked at the truck going like, this looks perfect.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, if I ever move it, that's how we'll
move it. It was one of the best visual. Again, another incredible visual, just that thing loaded.
Slide it off, then back it up till it sets it straight up. Uh-huh. I mean, it's, every time I buy a rocket, that's what we do.
And then, so hit them with it. We slide it off, tilt it, you heel it, and we back the truck up. And you say,
Something about erect. It looks bigger when it's erect, I think is what it said.
Yeah. It's the best. It's always bigger when it's erect. Yeah. I mean, it's just iconic.
It seems bigger, yeah. So it does. You know, laying flat, you don't see it, but once it's pointing to the sky,
yeah.
You know,
took a lot of paint. I actually painted that.
Elon Musk, you got nothing.
Bring
on
it.
Us. Yeah, we got the Roanoke 9.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that was the rocket.
Yep.
I painted that thing black, as I remember. Yep. We had it laying down. We stripped it or sanded it. Sanding it for like 2 days.
All it is pipes. It's not a rocket, by the way. You know, it's just made to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's kind of the thing. We got the pick. We got the format for the show. The interview.
So it was at this point, with speaking of interviews, it was just you and Robert doing interviews.
Right.
And it was in the Stone House.
Right. Yeah,
it's still next to Black Dog. Y'all bought it with the original building.
It came with the property, right? It was a derelict like everything else we bought.
Yeah.
And
it's since, though, been renovated, and it's a vacation rental property.
That's right, Airbnb. And you can, I mean, it's booked all the time, but it's a great place. It feels like home. We can go on that later because we did build some stuff.
Booking now.
Booking.
Yeah.
Booking at a website near you.
Yeah, right.
But when we're doing our interviews, mm-hmm. there was no electricity in that house. So we'd run a extension cord over there. And if it was, we were sweating, we would get makeup on to keep us looking.
And get dabbed.
Yeah.
Powdered.
Yeah. It's nothing better than getting a big old burly cameraman giving you makeup. You know, it's
yeah. Even when we started doing, as long as Jack was there doing it, we were getting.
Well, it was Jack. Yeah. Basically. And then, of course, when it got cold.
Oh, man.
It got cold. And, you know, I'm surprised that we didn't see our breath and a lot, because you really couldn't heat. You couldn't run propane heaters when you're trying to record.
Couldn't do anything. Couldn't put fans on in the summer. Couldn't put heaters on in the winter.
So we did that for 5 seasons, I think, you know, and you can look back and see it. It was, you know, and I did I call it the Olin Mills, where you put your hand up on the piece and you're just talking like this.
Yeah, they had a set piece. It was like a tripod with a mini ironing board looking
thing
on it.
Well, it was the lean board
for
or whatever.
So that.
I always did that at Olin Mills. Everybody's old enough. Olin Mills is probably not around anymore. It's the only place you got pictures taken.
Oh,
family pictures. Matter of fact, there was a picture of you and Gracie that we still have. That it was Olin Mill. It was, and they were all in malls by that time.
Oh,
you know,
got it.
So you go and, you know, get your picture taken.
Yeah, you get with Santa or whatever, those kind of things.
That was a terrible day because we lost Gracie in the mall. She was a short little thing.
Was this at Santa?
No, it was just in the mall. We were out and she kind of wandered off. scared the hell out of me and your mom. And so we were just freaking, and I mean, this is a terrible thing to be pulling up here, but just a
She's obviously fine.
So. Yeah. But Olin Mills, you know, that was my last memory and probably the last picture I ever took with Olin Mills, by the way.
Certainly the last family photo at the mall, probably.
I'm sorry I threw you guys under the bus, but that was a terrible day. I'm sorry to share that with you. It's one of my neuroses.
Well, where was she?
She was just playing behind a rack of clothes.
Oh,
you know, we were yelling for her.
Gone.
Yeah.
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 Hidden in the rack.
Anyway, so that's Olin Mills and the leaning boards. So you see how things kind of get sidetracked here. That's all right.
But yeah, the interviews, the thought of doing an interview in season one when I was 18, 19, I couldn't have been more terrified of a concept than sitting, staring straight at the producer, lights, camera. Yeah. I wasn't wearing glasses at the time.
You know, and that's the funny thing you say about glasses. I wear glasses. I always wear glasses. For instance, since I was 20 months old. Well, there was such a reflection.
That's an interesting piece of Mike White's
trivia. That's right. 20 months old. There was such a reflection on the glasses that he said, "Can you remove them?" I said, "Sure. I can see almost." Mm-hmm. And I took them off, and you never see me wearing glasses until the end. I'm always without glasses when they interview.
Yeah, and same when I started doing them, which was weird. And that's because of the key light. There was a big vertical rectangular light behind or next to the camera. Bye, Walker.
See you, Walker.
See you, buddy.
You don't have to be quiet. Yeah. It's okay.
See you, buddy. There's this big vertical light next to the camera that lit, you know, a quarter of the face.
Right.
And in glasses, because of where it was, you would see the light bar in the lens of the glasses, so we had to take them off.
Yeah, it was cool.
I hated it.
But, well,
you're talking basically into a foggy abyss.
Yeah, see, I'd gotten an operation. I got my eyes. I did cataract surgery.
Oh, you had gotten that before season one? Oh,
okay. Yeah, just right before we started, got cataract.
So you probably
surgery.
Could kind of see.
I could. I can see now. I mean, I can't read much. I can read a billboard.
Yeah,
you know, but I can't read this.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I can. Because I knew what I wrote. Anyway, that's not fair.
Yeah.
I'm cheating. But that's what we did. We put the glasses off.
That's why we were wearing glasses. Well, I wasn't wearing glasses at the time, but that's why he would wear glasses everywhere else except interviews.
That was way before we introduced the two-beer interview. Well, we'll get into that later.
Well, so what was it like doing interviews for the first time?
You know, I didn't have any problem with it. I just, you know, just talk.
You seemed a lot more – Robert seemed like he was a little more anxious than
– Well, Robert has a lot on his mind.
Yeah,
I'm void of stuff on my mind. So, yeah, that's the gray, the sound when the TV's got the gray sparkles. Yeah. You know,
when you tune to the wrong channel.
Yeah, that's what's in my brain when
I'm
turn
so
it off.
Jealous, man.
Yeah, you know, it's really a blessing so to jealous. Tell you the truth. You know, many years have gone by and I've lost just because I turn the channel off.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's sometimes you got to change the channel.
You know, I do. You know, I always remember watching TV. At the end, of the day, when they shut it off, and they would have the Star Spangled Banner and the flag flying, and then it would go to that kind of focal targets.
Oh yeah, the like calibration screen.
Yeah, and then it would go to, I call it snow. It's the thing. Same thing in
before TV used to run 24/7.
Remember Poltergeist?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Anyway, she was looking at the snow and in the screen. That's
and
what
it came out.
That's what my mind looks like.
Wow.
If we were to put it out, you know, if I was able to get a picture of it,
if we could plug in a monitor, yeah.
Well, you know, Elon's giving us the Neuralink.
Oh, so great!
Pretty soon, you know,
they're going to turn that channel off when they plug it into you.
Okay.
I think this thing's broken.
Yeah, Mike's Mike's loose. Just find him and turn him off. You know. Well, this has been fun.
This was good.
This is rehashing. Maybe we've gone a little too long on it. But,
no, 50 minutes. We're doing good.
All right. So, I mean, I think we really appreciate everybody that's participated in watching us, and hopefully this is something that you'll tune into more.
Before we go, I had one question.
Oh, had a question.
Question got posted to Facebook, and I wanted to share it. This is by a guy named Blake Mitchell. He said, "Hey, Tay, hearing your dad talk about Charlotte reminded me of a question. Does he have any memories of the Hilton conjoined twins? They worked at the parking shop from 61 till their death in 69.
Yes. Matter of fact, they worked the produce aisle. And back then, there was somebody who would you'd get your produce and put it in a bag and bring it up to them, and they would weigh it and then put the number on there. And these two ladies, conjoined, obviously.
Where, at the head?
At the hip.
Hip.
They were conjoined at the hip.
Whoa.
And I started there when I was 15 and a half years old. And they were there. Mr. Charlie Reed, who's the owner, took them in because they would, had been abandoned by the circus. They were a sideshow attraction.
Right.
And they, you know, and it was terrible. I mean, it's when they did stuff like that. But he took them in. He was a very gracious guy. He gave my mom a job when she didn't have one. And but I do remember them because they were all dolled up. I mean, they had big red lipstick and their hair was all black and coiffed.
Wow.
And they were so sweet. And I mean, I've got memories of them. I never really talked to them a whole lot because, you know, I was 15 and a half. So you imagine, you know.
It's a little wild.
Yeah, I didn't know. But they were. That was definitely part of my memory of Park and Shop and the twins. Absolutely.
Wow.
There's a book or a CD out. You can Google them, but it's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Produce ladies.
The produce twins.
Yeah. Produce twins. Wow. And they had two counters. One would come in on one side, one come in on the other. And so they both worked.
Oh, they could stand hip to hip and look.
And had one. They'd stand in the middle.
That's just smart.
Yeah.
Layout.
It was pretty cool. I mean, I can see it visually right now, just the scene, and it was an interesting place.
Whoa. Well, there you go. Good question.
So there you go. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Keep doing that. Comment on the video version on YouTube if you want us to.
Yeah.
If you have any specific questions. I think you get the idea. Every episode's going to be the next episode. So for episode 2, season 1, if there's any specific questions you have, drop us a line.
So what's next week?
I don't know.
I don't either. No idea. I knew the first one.
S1E2.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's season 1, episode 2.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, man, it was good.
It was good.
Thank you guys for listening. Again, Wood Dad and I are kind of just doing this shoestring now. I'm doing all the production myself here in the office and just throwing them up. So anything you could do to let us know that you like it, that you're listening, that you're watching, know, a like, a subscribe, a comment is free and easy, and it means the world to us.
That's right. You can find us any place you can find your podcast.
Yeah, we're all the things. Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, all kinds
all
of stuff.
All that. Yeah, just Google. Uh-huh. We'll pop up somewhere.
Google it.
One way or the other.
Well, as always, my name's Tay.
Mike Whiteside.
This is Mike.
We'll see you when it goes around one more time.
It's the Black Dog Salvage Podcast. See you next week.
All right.
The Black Dog Salvage Podcast is brought to you by Black Dog Salvage Furniture Paint. It's a paint that I've used a ton. It's a paint that I've filmed people using a ton here. It's a paint that people saw us use on the show. And for good reason, we developed it to paint furniture. And honestly, anything else. Metal, wood, plastic.
Glass.
Glass. Yep. It's, you know, super matte finish. It sticks to anything. No prep. You can brush it. You can spray it. I painted my kitchen cabinets with Black Dog Salvage Furniture Paint.
Oh, you did,
yeah. And that was 7 years ago, and they're holding up great. So I've used it. I love it. You should, too.
Yeah, it comes in 16 awesome colors with really cool names.
Mm-hmm. I like mine personally. You're going to need a Band-Aid or something like that. You know, it's red.
That'll leave a mark.
Yeah, that'll leave a mark.
That'll leave a mark. That's purple.
Yeah. Roanoke Rain.
Oh, there's another.
Yeah. Baby, I'm Amazed.
So we had fun doing it, and it's a serious product. It really, really does perform. And, you know, your side of the road finds, this is perfect for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It'll resurrect a piece of furniture in a heartbeat.
You can go to blackdogsalvage.com and look at it and find Black Dog Salvage on YouTube to see videos about how to use it. There are no mysteries. It's very easy. Buy yourself some.
Straight up.
Black Dog Salvage Furniture Paint.
Get you some.